day of the second month in which they had come out of Egypt in the second year. So that the ministry that is for us in these days is ministry that is given in the second year. The year of redemption, that great year in which they were brought out of Egypt, has passed. And now the people of God are entering their second year. And it's the first month, and it is the first day of the second month, rather, of the second year. Now look at chapter 10. Chapter 10 and verse 11. Chapter 10 and verse 11 gives us another time note. And it came to pass in the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testament. Now, that's an important verse too, beloved. And that marks the stage that is very, very entrancing to me, that now the company are ready to march. March according to the mind of God. To move in consort with His will. And in a manner that best displays the glory of their blessed Redeemer. And for 20 days, for that is the period existing between chapter 1 and verse 1 and chapter 10 and verse 11. For 20 days, they have been listening to God outlining principles that mark the movement. In other words, you will understand this morning, this afternoon, that Numbers is the fourth book of our Bible. And being the fourth book of our Bible, it must take character from its number. And in these chapters, we will see that Israel is now seen bearing testimony in relation to the nations. Well, that's very important. You see, Genesis is the way down. Exodus is the way out. Leviticus is the way in. But Numbers is the way through. God is giving direction as to how His people should move in testimony through the wilderness. Now, that's very important. You see, if we were to stress this, then we see that four is the earth number. The earth number. And that occurs, of course, from the fourth day of the book of Genesis, chapter 1, when the earth appeared. And so here is Israel in relation to the nations. You see, in the book of Leviticus, they have been taught how they should go in. And you know, we're never going to be able to go out or through the wilderness unless we've really learned how to go in before God. And this is a great balance in the thing, isn't it? And so for a year, almost, they have been at the foot of the Mount of Sinai. And they've been listening to the word of God. And they have been building the tabernacle of God. And they have been learning things relative to the sanctuary. How God is to be worshipped. How God is to be approached. And those great chapters that open the book of Leviticus is already in their possession. They're learning the truth of the burnt offering and the truth of the meal offering and so on. And they have spent almost a year in relation to the tabernacle of God and His worship and His adoration. Now, that is very, very important. There's a very interesting thing in our Bible, I'm sure you're aware of it. And that is this, that in the book of Psalms, 150 Psalms, those Psalms are collected, divided. Mr. Newbery does it beautifully for you if you have his Bible. And those Psalms are divided into five. And it's very, very easily recognized that those five divisions of the Psalms relate to the first five books of our Bible. And there's a most interesting thing, that when you come to the Levitical section, which commences in Psalm 73, you will discover this, that there is the same number of Psalms related to the Levitical section as there is to the Numbers section. Now, let that balance strike your soul this morning. And this is creditable. And this is something, young Christian, we're going to have to learn very early in our Christian experience. And if we're going to be effective, if we're going to be effective in our witness, we're going to have to be more efficient in our worship. And the man that knows power with God and power with men, should I say, is the man that knows power with God. And the more we experience the Levitical ministry of going in before God, then the more we will experience the testimony experience of going out to men. Now, that's a very precious and yet a very practical aspect of the book. And so here we are in the book of Numbers now, and God is speaking to them for 20 days, and in these 20 days he's telling them how they are to move, how they are to march, how they are to be seen in relation to the nations around. Now, let us notice something about this, just from the page of Numbers itself. And I want to entitle our exercise with an expression that occurs several times in these chapters. Now let us acquaint ourselves with the Word of God. Look at Numbers chapter 1, please. Numbers chapter 1 and verse 52. And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp, and every man by his own standard. Verse 51. And when the tabernacle setteth forward, the Levites shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And so on. Now it was really verse 51 I wanted. For I want you to notice the expression, set it forward. Now, that suggests movement, doesn't it? But it suggests what I want to entitle my ministry this time with you. It's a forward movement. A forward movement. Now, look at chapter 2, verse 17. Chapter 2 and verse 17. Then the tabernacle of the congregation shall set forward with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camp. As they encamp, so shall they set forward, every man in his place, by their standards. Now, look please at chapter 2, verse 24. All that were numbered of the camp of Ephraim were 100,000, and 8,000, and 100 throughout their armies. And they shall go forward in the third rank, or they shall set forth or go forward in the third rank. Now verse 34. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so they pitched by their standards, and so they set forward. everyone after their families, according to the house of their fathers. Now, I hope you're picking up the expression. Just on the page of the scriptures, chapter 4, verse 5. And when the camp set it forward, chapter 4, verse 15. And when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward. Chapter 10, please. And notice how it is multiplied now that we're coming, as you remember, to the crucial point. Chapter 10 and verse 5. When ye blow an alarm, the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. Verse 17. And the tabernacle was taken down, and the sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari set forward. Set forward. And the Revised gives us our expression earlier in verse 12. And the children of Israel set forward, is the word there, or took their journeys. Now, look at verse 18. And the standard of the camp of Reuben set forward. Verse 21. And the Kohathites set forward. Verse 22. And the standard of the camp of the children of Ephraim set forward. Verse 25. And the standard of the camp of the children of Dan set forward. Verse 28. Thus were the journeyings of the children of Israel according to their armies when they set forward. And the Revised changes it again in verse 34. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out, or when they set forward from the camp. Now verse 35. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, Return, O Lord, unto many thousands of Israel. I trust that hasn't been burdensome. I don't think it should be. But you can see what I mean. What we are concerned about in these chapters of Numbers is a forward movement. And throughout these 10 chapters, the Spirit of God is emphasizing this ever so clearly. That is God's mind that Israel should be constantly moving forward. Forward. They have a great objective. They have a great obligation. The objective is the land of promise. The obligation is to bear an adequate and a spiritual testimony to the nations in the wilderness round about them. That as they march, as they move, they're giving glory to the God whose presence is manifestly amongst them. Now, if they had obeyed this, brethren. You see, the first 10 chapters are tremendous. They give us the principles. They give us the clear instructions of God. But Israel did not obey. Israel set aside these very things. And instead of going forward, instead of marching and moving as God directed them, you know that the remainder of the book from chapter 11 until you come later in the book records not a forward movement, but a wandering. A wandering. And instead of passing on and passing through with the principles that God has given them, they began to murmur, they began to move in a most unfortunate way to such a degree that 40 years was lost. They suffered the discipline of God in the wilderness. Instead of receiving his blessing, their carcasses fell in the wilderness. And with that generation, so many verses in the Bible say God was not well pleased. God was not well pleased. Now, having said all that, what is our position today? We, as the Lord's people, find ourselves having the privilege of going in before God. We have our Levitical aspect of the testimony. We had it this morning. Did we not gather to remember our Lord Jesus? To bring before God the worship of our hearts in appreciation of his Son, our Savior. Dear saints of God, we have another responsibility. We have a responsibility to move according to the mind of God and to bear a testimony that will be a testimony to all around us. And this is what we have in this book. And so we're going to think of the forward movement and these principles that God has enunciated that his people may experience, may express this forward movement for God. Now, I trust that you and I, all of us together and all of us present, have an exercise in our hearts to express this for God. Now, when we come to the first chapter, the first principle that comes to light is seen in the opening verses of the chapter. Look at verse 2, please. Chapter 1 and verse 2. Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their poll. Verse 4, and with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head of the house of his fathers. And these are the names of the men that shall stand with you. And there is a list of names giving us 12 leaders from the 12 tribes of Israel. And then I want you to notice verse 18. And they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward by their poles. Now, this is a very important issue, isn't it? That right on the very threshold of this grid book, there is the counting of the soldiers. You see, these people were being numbered for war service. You see, God had established in this year something that was very precious to him. All that was seen in Israel in those days was very precious to God. And as they were moving through, of course, there would be those that would attack. And there would be those that would be hostile to the testimony. So God ordered that this which was of himself be preserved, be defended, be protected. And his way of doing this was to call up those that were 20 years of age. And they were to be numbered according to their tribes. And they were set for the defense of what was of God amongst them. Now, you understand how valuable that is. Why has so much gone wrong amongst us as assemblies of God's people? Because, fellow saints, when it comes to this issue we in many, many places and in many, many parts have been very, very formal. And in many cases, very unwise. Very unwise. Here were men that were counted to defend. But before they were numbered, they had to prove something. They had to prove they were true born. See? They had to prove they were born in Israel and of Israel. In other words, they had to declare their pedigree. That's a very simple principle. I think you understand that this afternoon, don't you? And as they were brought before these 12 leaders, representatives of the leaders of the tribes of Israel, 12 great men. We're going to see something of them as we go through these chapters. And as these young men of 20 years of age came before these 12 leaders, before Aaron and before Moses, each young man had to prove he was true born. You know, one area where so much has failed amongst us is that the matter of reception. And this is an aspect of things that is being questioned. This is an aspect of things that is being frowned upon. And what is happening to the testimony today is this, that it breaks down right at the door. Right at the door. And I want to be practical and I want to be plain. And I'm sure my brethren will accept the fact that we have come not to entertain you, but to share these things that are mutual in our interest. You see, we can come on in our Bible to the day when David defected and he found himself amongst the Philistines. You remember he went down to his friend there in the Philistine land, and the king said to him, "Well, David, good to have you here. We're going out to fight." And they said, "You better come and fight with us." David must have felt honored. But don't you remember that the princes of the Philistines said, "Nay, nay." They had more sense than the king. No, they said, "This man doesn't belong to us, you know. He might be a very important man. He might be a very, very powerful man. But really, you know, he doesn't belong to us." And the princes said, "What would happen if we're facing the enemy and this man's turns purple in the midst of the fight, goes and joins the other side?" "Not all," says the princes. "We're not going to have David in the ranks." See? Why? Because David wasn't a Philistine. Wasn't true born. When the pressure would come, those men had the sense to see that David might turn turtle. And you see, that's what has happened in many an assembly, isn't it? It's not what has happened in many a locality. People have been received, and they never were committed to the principles of God. And once the pressure comes, they're with the enemy. Searching thing, isn't it? Once the pressure is on, those people not standing for truth, they become a difficulty. And you see, God was wanting these men to make sure that every young person that was enlisted at 20 years of age to defend the kingdom for God could prove they were truly born. Now you know how valuable that is in the days of Nehemiah. You remember when they came up from Babylon and they wanted to be associated with the thing? Here were people that couldn't prove their genealogy. See, couldn't prove it. So Nehemiah says, "No, I'm very sorry. Just you have to stand back for a while. Until a priest comes. Until the priest comes. And he stands with the Urim and the Thummim. And there is responsible judgment applied here to the case that could really prove the genealogy. Now, I'm sure my brethren exercise care for the assembly of God will see the principle that opens this book. If what is of God, brethren, is going to be preserved, it can only be preserved by those that can declare their pedigree. Not just that they're true born, but they're prepared to accept the responsibility of defending what they're associated with. That's a good exercise. And that's where God puts at the very front of this book. And let me speak again to these, to you brethren that take care. I want you just to be able to place yourselves calmly in this chapter. Verse 4, these men are called heads. Notice that. Look at verse 16. It says, these were the renown of the congregation. Look at verse 16 again. It says, princes of the tribes. Look again at verse 10. And you'll see they were over the host. Chapter 10, that is. Chapter 10. We'll come to that later. Over the host. So, there are four qualifications. They are heads. They are men of renown. They are princes. And they are over the host. Oh, I believe that God would raise up men of that caliber and that character today. Men that are heads. Men that are renowned. Men that are prince-like in character, and men who are responsibly over the whole. Now, if before these men, these younger folks would come, 20 years of age, numbered for the defense of the kingdom. Now, look at chapter 2. And this will prepare us for what we will consider later this afternoon. Chapter 2, please. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard, with the ensign of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. And look at verse 17, which we have read already. Then the tabernacle of the congregation shall set forward, with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camp. As they encamp, so shall they set forward. Now you get that little expression? As they encamp, so shall they set forward. Now, this verse is a central verse in more ways than one. And I want you to notice that this is very, very illustrative. Now, what does chapter 2 say? And this will come before us now for this afternoon. Chapter 2 is saying that God is interested not only in the declaration of the pedigree or the challenge of the warfare or the counting of the soldiers, whatever you wish to call chapter 1, but chapter 2 has got to do with the centralization of the century. As they encamp. Now, how did they encamp? I hope you have a vision of this. I'm sure you have seen pictures of the encampment. Well, God's presence was visibly in the midst. And then the tribes were apportioned their setting around the sanctuary. And the sanctuary was centralized in the midst. That's how they encamped. And then it says, as they encamped, so shall they set forward. That is, what marked them in their sitting down, marked them in their going forward. That is, as they encamp with the sanctuary in the midst, so shall they set forward. That this march, this actual movement, was to take character from their encampment. And still, the ark, the sanctuary, was in the midst. That's very remarkable, isn't it? And so, in the setting that God gave relative to the worship as the encamp, is the same setting that God gave as to the walk and the movement. Now, we look at that in the will of God in the next meeting, and it'd be good if you have time to read chapter 2 in view of the ministry. Let's pray. We ask thee, Father, to receive our thanks for this time together and bless thy word to all our hearts as we read thy voice in the Savior's precious name. Now we're reading in Numbers chapter 2, please. Book of Numbers, chapter 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the inside of their father's house far off about the tabernacle of the congregation, or over against the tabernacle of the congregation, shall they pitch round above. And on the east side toward the rising of the sun, shall they on the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. And Nathan the son of Aminadab, and Nathan the son of Aminadab shall be the captain of the children of Judah, and so on. Notice that in that same position, you have the tribe of Issachar, and verse number 7, the tribe of Zebulun. Now verse 10, on the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben, according to their armies, and the captain of the children of Reuben shall be Elishur, the son of Shedur. Verse 17 again, and we read this today already. Then the tabernacle of the congregation shall set forward with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camp. As they encamp, so shall they set forward, every man in his place by their standards. Now verse 18 gives us the location. On the west side shall be the standard of the camp of Ephraim according to their armies. And the captain of the sons of Ephraim shall be Elishama, the son of Amminahu. Amahu. Now verse 25. On the north side shall be the standard of the camp of Dan, according to their arms. And the captain of the children of Dan shall be Ahiezer, the son of Amishadab. Now, chapter 3. These These also are the generations of Aaron and Moses in the day that the Lord spake with Moses in Mount Sinai. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron: Nadab the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests which were anointed, whom he consecrated to minister in the priest's office. And Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. And Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron their father. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge, and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation, to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the charge of the children of Israel, to do the service of the tabernacle. And thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. Thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall be on their priest's office. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, And I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix of the womb among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine. Now, verse 15. Number the children of Levi after the house of their fathers by their families. Every male from a month old and upward shalt thou number them. And Moses numbered them according to the word of the Lord, as he was commanded. And these were the sons of Levi, by their names, Gershon, and Kohath, and Merari. Now we trust the Lord will be pleased to add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Now, earlier today, we introduced our studies, and we're going to be looking at these opening chapters of the book of Numbers. And we trust the Lord will give help as we seek to minister and to be profited by the word open to us. Now, we mentioned that in this great book, we have the testimony of Israel as God intended it to be among the nations through the wilderness. And to prepare them for this great service, God is giving us principles. God is giving us instruction. God is giving them guidance, so that as they fulfill these things, they will move through the wilderness, as we saw, as a forward movement. We notice that expression, they shall set forward or go forth, so often in the first 10 chapters of this book. Now, in chapter 1, we've looked at it a little already, and we have considered the first principle. The first principle, according to chapter 1, is the declaration of pedigree, the certainty of those that would be associated with the preservation of the testimony for God. They must prove that they are true born. They must, of all the evidence, they are inseparably linked with what they are defending. Now, there is a sense, of course, in which each of us are soldiers, warriors, and in that subject, as you know, comes very clearly to view in Paul's pastoral epistles. As he writes to Timothy, he exhorts him to fight the good fight of faith. And he's also exhorted to endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So there is a very real sense in which every believer is associated with this spiritual warfare. We are warriors. Now, we hurriedly come to chapter 2 because we want to be able to cover as much of these chapters as we possibly can. In chapter 2, the title I want you to put over the chapter is the centralization of the sanctuary. The centralization of the sanctuary. There is something always central in God's mind. His presence must always be manifestly in the midst of his people. And very early in the day, this truth is taught Israel, and this chapter is one of those great chapters to reach that point afresh. And we know this afternoon how this is corroborated by the ministry of the New Testament. And we will make much of that lovely verse today that is so familiar and is having what I would feel a very pictorial illustrative mention in our chapter today. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus. For two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And this is very beautifully displayed in the second chapter of Numbers. As a person in a day to come, we know it from this very book. As he looked from the heights and gazed upon Israel in the city, he could see things, of course, directed by the Spirit of God that God saw in them and that God desired to be more manifested amongst them. But you remember when Balaam looked on the people of God from that exalted position and saw things as God projected them before him and spoke of things that God put on his lips in spite of his determination to say other things. We can see the wealth of what is in this chapter. Now, we certainly know this chapter is very real. Here is the tabernacle. And as you can visualize, I trust you can quite easily, if we were to imagine this desk here as indicating the setting, you will know that the east side is on my right. That's how we're going to view it. And here we have the tabernacle in the midst. And God is giving us and giving Israel to work through. Well, they were to be positioned in relation to the tabernacle. Now, I think you understand that here were 12 sons, now developed into 12 tribes, various, different, and when we go back to Genesis 49, we can see how this thing, each character really was. Why we can see that very clearly. And we listen to the Father, Jesus, by the Spirit of God, who died, and then the Father, Jesus,
I'm